you have your program, I'd like you to turn to the very back of your program. On that back page, you'll find the message outline we're going to follow very closely today. Our scripture comes from 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 15 and 16, and 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 3, 4, and 5, and verse 7. I'm going to read them in your hearing, read them consecutively in your hearing. And it reads, "But you shall not cut off your kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord has cut off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth." So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying that the Lord required at the hand of David's enemies. Then the king David said, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?" And Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet." So the king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "Indeed, he is in the house of Maacah, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar." Then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Maacah, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. So David said to Mephibosheth, "Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually." So I want to speak to you today from this subject, the covenant of kindness. Covenant of kindness. Kindness is one of the fruits of the Spirit that the scriptures teach us about. And as we look at this text today, I want to try to lift up how God wants to covenant with you and I. Actually, he already has made the covenant, and he is now asking you to participate in this covenant of kindness. And when the Lord Jesus sacrificed himself for our sakes, while we were still yet sinners, he died for us. That, my brothers and sisters, was a very kind thing to do. That was out of God's kindness. It wasn't out of our goodness. It wasn't because we had worked so hard or because we deserved it. God did it because we have a kind God. And this kind God wants to do what is good for us, wants to bless us. And he shows it in himself, and he shows it in the life of King David. And this is where we first see this covenant of kindness happen. And God is continually looking to show us his kindness and then looking to ask us to be kind to someone else. Kindness is often just overlooked. It's often not recognized. And it is in this world where there's so much hostility, it's becoming more rare and rare to see somebody just be kind. And so I pray that the Lord will help us, you and I, and those that are listening on the radio and on the internet, pray that God will instill in us this ability and this willingness to be kind. And sometimes the closer somebody gets to you, the less kind we are. It's almost like we got to show them our strength. We got to be strong. And God says you can show your strength and be strong through your kindness. It is an act of the will. It's something that is not easy to do, but God asks it of us. So I want to try to lift this up out of this text today, this covenant of kindness. And so the first part, verse 15, says, "But you shall not cut off your kindness from my house forever." You shall not cut off your kindness. Do not. And in fact, he says, "No, not when the Lord cut off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth." Do not cut off your kindness. And so the first part of your outline there, you shall not, everybody say not, not cut off your kindness. Please write that word kindness in there. God wants you and I not to cut off our kindness, and especially when there's enemies around. Especially when the person you're trying to be kind to isn't acting kind. In fact, sometimes they act like they're the enemy. Are they supposed to be close? They're supposed to be the loved one, and we can act like enemies. And so Jonathan says, now, even when things are bad, don't cut off your kindness. Now, this is Jonathan and David, and Jonathan's father was the king of Israel at that time. His name was Saul. And King Saul had his entire army trying to kill David. Even as Jonathan, his son, is making his covenant with David, God's going to give you the kingdom, but when he does, don't cut off your kindness. Don't be cruel and mean and nasty toward the descendants of Saul from the house of Jonathan. Don't act evil, even though my father is acting evil towards you. Don't act evil towards him. Do not cut off your kindness. He knew David had a kind heart, but he also knew his father was treacherous. And sometimes when you deal with treacherous, evil, hateful people, we can let that overshadow us, and we can forget to be kind. I know you're looking at me funny. You're about to forget now to be kind. But God challenges us. Even under fire, even when the enemy is at their worst, that God said, but what I want from you is to be kind. When they spit in Jesus' face and they put a crown of thorns on his head, the Bible says that he never said a bad word about them. Our Lord was kind. Even when the thieves on the cross were saying, why don't you call your angels and have them disperse all of us, free you and then free us? You got authority, you got power. Call your angels and let them destroy all of our enemies. But then one thief said to the other thief, don't you see this man is righteous? He doesn't belong on this cross. He chose to be here. He's a king. And then he says to Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. That word, when you come into your kingdom, you are a king, and when your kingdom comes, remember me. And the Lord Jesus then shows his kindness with even in that situation. Jesus says, this day you'll be with me in paradise. I'm not going to stop you from dying, but what I am going to stop is for judgment to come against you. You're a thief, and you're rightly convicted. But I'm gonna wipe out your conviction. I'm gonna pardon you. And my brothers and sisters, our Lord still wipes out conviction. He still pardons us from our sins. That's a mighty kind God. Our God is kind to us. Even when we're wrong, our God is kind to us. He's still gonna try to show us the right way. And if we'll listen, he'll guide us and direct us the right way. But even with that, he's going to be kind. When he allows things to happen in our lives, our God has promised us. Remember what that 23rd Psalm says? Even when we are at our worst, God says, goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. Even when I did what I knew was wrong, God said, but I'm still going to be good and merciful. That's a kind God. Every day of your life, goodness and mercy will follow you. That's a kind God. And he tells us here now, don't cut off your kindness. I know you got to deal with some crazy folks. And you got government leaders that are acting crazy. But even when the government leader acts crazy, he says, but don't cut off your kindness. Still be kind. Verse 16 says, so Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David. I want you to know this, my brothers and sisters, this second part of y'all line. They made a covenant. Jonathan and David made this covenant that they would be kind to each other. And not only to themselves, but they said, but for the future generations, the house of David and the house of Jonathan, they would be kind for future generations. Continually, he said, we will show this kindness. And then in verse 16, it says, let the Lord require it at the hands of David's enemies. Let the Lord require it. I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, when you make a covenant, it always involves the Lord. Because our God stands for truth. He stands for right. And he wants you and I to honor the covenants that we make. And so they put this in the covenant. Let the Lord require it. Now, it's strange, he says, let the Lord require it of the enemies. This is an unusual situation where the covenant is that the Lord's enemies. Now, he actually could have said, my father, because it was his father, Saul, that was the enemy. It was his father, Saul, that was trying to kill David. But God had already told Saul, he told Jonathan, and he told David, I'm taking the kingdom from Saul, and I'm giving the kingdom to David. Because David was a man after God's own heart. David loved the Lord. He was not a perfect man, but he had a perfect God. And because he had this perfect God, God said, I'm going to forgive him. If he'll call on my name, I'll forgive him all his sins. And my brothers and sisters, that promise still stands for you and me. If we will call on the name of our Lord, he'll forgive us of every sin. Our God will show us kindness in the name of Jesus Christ. And so we need to make sure we call on that name. Here in this covenant, I want you to know, you want to write in that word covenant, and the Lord requires. Because with every covenant, there are some requirements. And the Lord requires of you and of me that we would love one another. The enemy for us is sin, and God requires us to conquer sin. He'll give us his Holy Spirit. He'll give us the strength. He'll show us the way. But we gotta be willing to allow God to have his way in our lives. If you don't let God have his own way, then you are in the way. And God's going to move whatever he needs to move out of his way. I want to be a part of his way. I don't want to be in his way. And so here the scripture teaches us that it is important that we want to make sure that we are doing what the Lord requires. What does the Lord require? That you do justly, love mercy, and that you seek our Lord. Our God wants you to have this humility about you. He wants you to have a heart that is willing to hear what he has to say. If your heart is made up that what you say is right, and only what you say is right, then you've missed the opportunity to hear the heart of God. You gotta say, God, you are right always. Help me to receive that. Help me to be blessed by that. And so God tells them in 2 Paul, you outline the covenant, and the Lord requires it. I recognize the Lord requires it. So then David says, years passed, over 20 years passed, and we pick it up in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 3. It says, then the king David, and now David is king. Saul had been dead for over 20 years now. David is king. It said, is there not still someone of the house of Saul? He made the covenant with Jonathan, but he honors Jonathan's father, Saul. Sometimes this scriptures are paradoxical. The actual covenant was not with Saul. It was with Saul's son. It was with Jonathan. But Saul was the enemy whose blood had been shed. And so now God wants David to know, you're not just doing that because of Jonathan. I want you to remember your enemy. Because God never wants us to forget about enemies. God wants us to do like Jesus did. And he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's an act of kindness. And so now God moves on David's heart, and David says, is there any left of the house of Saul that I might show him kindness? Is there any left of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God? I want you right in there to show the kindness of God. I hope and pray that you will decide in your life you want to show the kindness of God. And especially to somebody you're having a hard time with. Especially with somebody that considers themselves your enemy. Somebody that's trying to work against you. Somebody trying to do stuff behind your back. Somebody that's trying to make you feel bad. Somebody that's trying to put you down. Show them an act of kindness. He said that I might show the kindness of God. We'll be a better people. We'll be a better nation if we start showing the kindness of God. God is so kind that every day of our lives, he shows us goodness and mercy. On your best day, he shows you goodness and mercy. On your worst day, our God still shows you goodness and mercy. That's a kind God. And so here David said, I want to show the kindness of God. I want to be God-like in my kindness. And so then the scripture tells us that there was a man there, and he says, named Ziba, who had worked for Saul. He says, yes, there is one. There's a son of Jonathan. And I want you to note this, the verse 4 here. It says, Ziba, where is he? And he says, the king said to him, where is he? Where is this Jonathan? And Ziba said to the king, indeed, he is in the house of Maacah, the son of Ammiah, in Lodabar. Now, I want you to note this in verse 4, because then there is almost a reversal in verse 5. Note that it says he's in the house and he's in Lodabar. In verse 5, when the king speaks, verse 5, the king, then King David sent and brought him out of the house. So what he was in verse 4, David, the king, brings him out of the house. Verse 4 says he's in the house, and verse 5 says he's out of the house. Now, I want you to note this, because whatever you're in right now, God can bring you out. If you get a word from the king, it might be a sickness, it could be a relationship, it could be a job, it could be a community, whatever it is, whatever you're in, our God, he is the king of this world, he's the king of this universe, our God is able to bring you out. The king said, bring him out. That's what I'm asking the king to do for me. God, bring me out. We got a king, and he can deliver us. He can bless our nation. He can bless America. He can bless each one of our family. God can bring us out. He was in the house, verse 4, and then he was out of the house at the word of the king in verse 5. Not only was he out of the house, the scripture says, but he also, verse 5 tells us that he also brought him from Lodabar. Verse 4 says he's in Lodabar. Last two words of verse 4, in Lodabar. Last two words from verse 5 is from Lodabar. God has brought him from that place. And Lodabar, it is perhaps the worst slum in the scriptures. It was a horrible ghetto. It was a place that only the worst of the worst would go. I think of Alibaba and his 40 thieves. It's a place like that. It is a place, Charles Dickens would say, it was the worst of times. When you go to Lodabar, you in bad shape. Things have gotten so bad, there's nowhere else for you. It was a low bar. And here he is living there, this man who had been a prince of Israel. This prince of Israel now is living, his feet are lame, he's in a lame situation, and he's in a low place. And it is from there that the king brings him. And that's important because that's what our king does from us. Our king brings us up out of the muck and the mire. Our king brings us up out of sin. Our king brings us to a better place. We need to recognize, we got a king that can bring us up. He brought him up out of Lodabar. I want to get through this real quickly now. Once he brings him up out of Lodabar, and the fourth part of the outline, Jonathan, he's lame in his feet and he's in Lodabar. Now, the fifth part, and this is the best part, I think. I want you to get this because five things happen here in this verse, and I'm going to be finished for today. I want you to get these five things because this is what the king does. It's in verse 5. Verse 5 says, then King David, and we're talking now about King Jesus. He is the son of David. And this son of David, who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, listen to what he does. He brought him out of the house, I've mentioned that already. And then verse 7 says that he says to him, the first thing I want you to write is A, do not fear. That's the first thing the king says to him. Verse 7, David said to him, Mephibosheth, do not fear. That's what our Lord says. Just do not be afraid. Whatever's going on in this world, and there's some strange things going on in the world. But our God says to us, everybody that recognizes he is still Lord of Lords and King of Kings, he said, do not fear. Whatever the government says, whatever ICE says, whatever anybody else says, God tells us, do not fear. The Lord he's assuring us he's still in charge. Now, when God says to him, do not fear, this man is still lame in his feet. He's still, his home is, although he's out from Lodabar, his home is still Lodabar. He doesn't have a new home yet. And God's going to, he's about to see, he's going to get a new home. But at this point when he speaks, David says, do not fear. This man is still a resident of Lodabar. David says, do not fear. Now, I want you to get this part. Now, I will surely show you kindness. I will, for sure. It's almost like he's going to say part of that 23rd Psalm. Remember the 23rd Psalm says, surely goodness and mercy? He's saying now, surely. The same way he did it in the 23rd Psalm, he speaks that now to Mephibosheth. He says, surely I'm going to show you kindness for Jonathan's sake. Now, remember earlier he said for Saul's, but now he changed it. It's not really for Saul. I'm going to be merciful because I'm going to be merciful to Saul. I'm going to show kindness for Saul, but I'm doing it for Jonathan's sake. And what we do when we show kindness is not because we're so good. We're talking about the fact that our Lord is so good. We're doing it for Jesus' sake. Because we're doing it in Jesus' name. We're doing it to bring honor to the name of our Savior, our Christ, our Lord. And so David said, I'm doing this because of the covenant I've made with Jonathan. I'm doing it for Jonathan's sake. He's referring back to the covenant. And this covenant of kindness says that I want to show you kindness, even if you're lame in your feet, even if you're crippled, even if you have some deformity, even if something's not right about you, I'm going to show you kindness. That's what I love about Jesus. He doesn't care what your situation is. He's going to show you kindness. He don't care what you've done wrong. He's going to show you kindness. He don't care where you're living right now. He's going to show kindness to us. We got a kind God. I want to show you kindness. And he says, for Jonathan's sake, for the covenant's sake. And then he tells him, and this is what God will do. He says, I will restore you. Somebody say restore. He's talking about taking you all the way back to the days when you were the prince. when you were the princess, when you were living in the king's palace. David said, this is what God's going to do. He's going to take us all the way back to the Garden of Eden. He's going to make sure that we're in that place where all of our needs are met. We're going to be in that place that the scripture calls paradise. And when you get to paradise, my brothers and sisters, there are no unmet needs in paradise. There's no sickness in paradise. There's no enemies in paradise. Our God says, I'm going to restore that back to you. You're going to be back in Eden. You're going to be back in paradise. Only King Jesus can make that promise. Our God will restore us. Our God will bless us. And so God is in the restoration business. But the last thing, and I'm going to close with this, the last thing he promises here is, he says, all the land of your grandfather, I'm going to restore that to you. Then he says, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. I want you to know this is the last thing. You will be at the king's table continually. You will be at the king's table forever. He's now giving Mephibosheth a new home. He says, your home is going to be here in the king's palace. I'm going to restore all that land that your father, your grandfather had, and your father had, but I'm going to have you at my table. You will eat every day with me. You will be at the king's table. Your whatever your needs are, they're going to be provided by the king. And I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, that invitation still stands for you and for me. God wants you and I at the king's table. He wants you and I to know that he's going to make a way for us. He tells us, do not fear. I'm going to make a way, and you will eat continually at the king's table. Our God promises us that he will never leave us.
Thank you for joining today's broadcast of the Trinity Baptist Church.
He'll make a way out of no way.
He will
be in our hearts, in our minds, in our bodies, in our souls.
You're welcome to worship with us in person Sundays at our 10:30 a.m. worship service right here on the Trinity campus.
He's
also, if you, your family, or business would like to sponsor the broadcast or make a dedication, contact the church office at 323-735-0044.
He'll make
a way.
There's
no doubt times are challenging.
He'll find a way.
Stay prayed up and steeped in the word and promises of God.
Continually.
Remember, we are your Trinity family.
Every day of your life,
here for
God invites you to the king's table. You have to open up your mind, your heart, your spirit. Say, God, I want to come in. If you open up the door, God will come in. Remember, the scripture tells us, but Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I hope and pray you'll let him in. I'm going to stop right there. Will you stand with me? Maybe somebody here today wants to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Why don't you come?